It's been 25 years since the movie Scream was released and became an instant hit with critics and audiences around the world. Wes Craven and Kevin Williamson's knowing slasher spawned three sequels and set a young, hip and scary trend that immediately changed the landscape of cinema. Now with a new installment of the record-breaking saga on the way in 2022, this podcast will celebrate the original release and what came next, maybe with a few twists and turns along the way. I'm Alex James and this is the Woodsboro Podcast. Here we go then, it's Christmas, or the holidays if you like, and one final episode before the end of the year. I hope you managed to celebrate the official 25th anniversary of Scream this week, and you're all set for the new movie in just a few weeks' time. So on this episode, episode 10, we continue to go deep Scream with Richard Potter. He was a Dimension Films exec and executive in charge of production on Scream and Scream 2. And last time we covered how Richard first read the script, got the ball rolling with Kevin Williamson, and how Dimension came to buy the script. And if you're ready for more nostalgia, great stories and facts from Scream history, then let's go. We pick up the story once the Dimension team took the trip to LA to get it all signed off.
We're out there in June talking to Kevin, having conversations that I think he was surprised by, like really in depth. How do you see this? What did you want for that? What were you thinking with this? Getting a sense and saying to him, initially, we want to talk to Wes Craven about this. And as Kevin has said, and I think this was just in a Hollywood Reporter article this past weekend, Kevin was like, okay, yeah, right. All right, yeah, go get Wes Craven, you know, which I think, you know, if I was Kevin at that point too, I would have been like, yeah, okay, right. Yeah. You know, it'd be like, if you said to me, oh, you know who else wants to interview you right now? I have Barack Obama here. Like, oh, yeah, okay, go get Barack Obama. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, those kind of people are a name. Like, that's not a real person. That's a name. Like, there's no such guy as Barack Obama. There's just it's bigger than, it's a thing. Like, Steven Spielberg's not a guy. That's a thing. Like, it's bigger than a person.
Yeah.
And that's Wes Craven in the horror world. So what Kevin didn't know is we'd already been speaking to him for about a year about another project that was not going to happen.
What was that, out of curiosity?
The Haunting of Hill House. The remake rights to the movie The Haunting, which is based on The Haunting of Hill House. We had been talking to him about that. Had a bunch of meetings, and that's how I met him and Marianne Maddalena, who you also know. So getting to Wes at that point was a phone call. It wasn't even a reach out to his agent kind of thing, which we would have done also. But it was like, just pick up the phone and call Wes and say, we have a script that we want you to look at. We already have a relationship where we're trying to do something together anyway. So he and Marianne are expecting us to be sending him scripts.
Yeah.
And so is his reps are expecting that too. So this is not the going around someone. This is how it's supposed to work. We're telling Kevin we want to go to Wes Craven for this. And chances are I've already sent him the script, or I'm about to send him the script while we're in LA. I will suspect that I didn't send it until we were there, because the only copies we had were copies of a fax. You and I are old enough to remember what that looks like. And what's funny is fax pages somehow, even though you had to put them into the thing, just like you put them into a copy machine, would somehow come out like at an angle sometimes. Like, yeah. And you're like, how did the machine do that? It went, you know. So I'm sure I asked Kevin to bring me a hard copy. Probably a couple. I only really need one to make photocopies of. But I always like to have more than one original, because originals disappear. And you can't really tell the difference between a photocopy of a script from the original to, let's say, the first copy. But after that, you do start to see things show up and the script gets harder and harder to read. Most of the scripts that you can find on the internet of any movie are clearly copies of copies of copies, and they're in terrible condition. So I imagine I wouldn't have sent Wes a copy of the fax. I would have messengered to him while we were in LA a photocopy of Kevin's script that was crisp and clean, because they both would have had to read it. I always say this, people who don't understand that Wes and Marianne worked as a team don't understand how Wes worked. it would have been like, and people realized this after a while at Dimension when I was there, if you sent a script to Bob, but you didn't send it to me, it wasn't going to get read until Bob asked me if I read it, because I was the person Bob trusted most when it came to scripts. If I hadn't read it, he wasn't going to do anything until he had my opinion. I'm not saying that he based his decisions on my opinion, but he always wanted to talk to me about a script, whether we agreed with it or not, with agreed with each other or not. Mm-hmm. So if I hadn't read it, Bob wasn't going to do anything. And with Wes, if Marianne had not read the script, Wes probably wasn't even going to read it. So that meeting with Kevin, I probably got a script from him. He may remember, you know, it's funny, someone just handing you a piece of paper or a stack of pages generally isn't a big thing to remember, but it's like the ripple in the pool. How important him handing me that those pages were on that day to get it messengered over, or depending upon what Wes was up to, maybe even mailed to their office, but chances are messengered. And getting it into Marianne's hands, because if it wasn't for Marianne and Julie Pleck, who was Wes's assistant at the time, now probably one of the, will be remembered, Julie, as one of the most important showrunners for all of her TV shows that she runs, but at the time she was Wes's assistant. If they hadn't read it and liked it and kept saying to Wes, you need to do this, it wouldn't have happened. And to clear up one misconception, yeah, this is something that I think is important, and I'm happy to do this with you. Wes never said he didn't like the script. That was never the issue. Somehow him passing has been turned into he didn't like it. That was not what happened. I had many conversations with him trying to convince him, and I know, and you probably know also from speaking to Marianne, she had similar conversations. Wes's issue with the Scary Movie script was he had done horror movies, he had done slasher movies, and he felt with Freddy's New Nightmare that he'd sort of already done what became known as the meta thing. I don't think he used the word meta with me, but that idea that he had done this already. He'd done the genre, he'd done the slasher, he'd done the self-reflective thing. And I kept saying to him, not this, nobody's done this. And Marianne and Julie were telling him the same thing. Now, me telling him that means absolutely nothing. I'm the studio trying to get him to make a movie. Of course, I'm going to say whatever it takes to get him to make the movie. And from his point of view, that's what I was doing. But I think the fact that Marianne and Julie were also saying that to him was what convinced him.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I know that it's them saying it that convinced him. And then he agreed to have a sit down meeting with Kevin. And after that conversation, we had Wes.
Easy as that.
Yeah. Did not feel easy at the time. You know what? It's funny how when something happened in the past, the truth of it feels inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
But while you're going through it, it definitely didn't feel like that. Like we were having conversations of, if it's not Wes, who are we going to get to? Who are we going to go to?
Who was on the backup list? Was there a backup list?
There probably was at the time. I don't remember who would have been on it. And in truth, just out of respect for them.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say, like, how would you like to find out now? Oh, this classic movie, it was almost you. Like, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure everyone out of respect would be like, well, you know, it belonged to Wes. It was Wes, but you know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Because of Wes being who Wes was,
mm-hmm.
and us having never worked with him before and wanting him, I don't think Bob would have done like any kind of pressure thing with him. I think Bob would have been more like, you should do this movie. Like, this movie is for you. Like,
it's yeah.
clearly, you know, there's even the one of my favorite Kevin lines in the movie when Tatum says that this whole thing's like some kind of Wes Carpenter movie. And Wes actually spoke to us one day as we were in pre-production whether we should leave that line, because he is Wes Craven. You know, like, it's like if John Carpenter had directed it, do you leave in Wes Carpenter?
Yeah.
And we were like, you know, there's enough little nods and winks in this movie that, you know, why that one? Why is that one special? Like, leave it. You know, the audience will get kind of a laugh. If we're doing sort of a meta self-reflexive thing, then yeah, your movies exist in their world. Yeah. And the other person who wanted to direct it was Kevin. Kevin wanted to direct the movie and lobbied hard to be allowed to do it. We actually said we would have him, if he wanted, shoot a test scene to see how he would direct it. And he shot it. He shot the bathroom scene. And the for a mask, like we, this was not a situation where we were like, all right, just let the guy go shoot something. We're not using him.
Yeah.
This was a legitimate, let's see what he can do. Like, you know, how awesome would it be if he's also a great director?
Yeah.
You know? So we took it so seriously that in the closet in my office, I had the Michael Myers mask from Halloween 6. So the mask we had him use, we let him use for his thing, was the Michael Myers mask. Like we were like, because obviously, as you know, we didn't know yet what the mask was going to look like.
Yeah.
So we gave him that. We let him shoot it. We had a great editor edit it for him. And his version of the scene is really good. He did a really, really good job. But when Wes Craven said yes, it's like, yeah, you did a great job. Wes Craven wants to do it.
Yeah. 100%. I'm sure he had no qualms about that.
Right. You know, exactly. Like, how are you going to say, yeah, but I did a good job? Like, Kevin's not stupid. Mm-hmm. Wes Craven wants to direct your horror movie. You just say, thank you. And that's literally what Kevin did.
And there's also that, from your perspective as a business, you know, his name on the poster adds, you know, a whole other level, right?
Yes. But also, as we were building Dimension, there were two things I cared about. Well, more than two. Obviously, I just wanted to make good movies. I felt like I would rather make fewer movies and have them be really good than pump out a ton. And luckily, particularly early on, Bob felt the same way. Like he just wanted to make sure we were making good movies, which is why things like The Prophecy happened. Like that movie is, the first one is really good. It's amazing how many people I meet who, when I say I worked at Dimension, the first thing they want to talk to me about is The Prophecy. people, it has a following that is unbelievable. I want obviously great movies and make good movies. I wanted to work with filmmakers, people who had a vision and an idea. And I wanted it to be a place, like I said to you earlier, I thought Dimension would be the place that if Alfred Hitchcock was still alive, he'd be making movies there. I wanted the industry to know, the community to know that the directors, if you're a genre director, not just horror, but any of the, you know, what are considered the B movie, popcorn movie genres.
Yeah.
Dimension's where you want to be working. And the other group of people that I wanted to see that were writers. Even now, I don't think writers get the credit for the fact that they created the whole thing. Like, yeah, the director made the movie. And you can't knock a director, especially when you can get the greats who will, no matter how good you think the movie is, this guy's going to make it better. I wanted Dimension to be that place. So yeah, I want Wes Craven to direct this movie because this is one of the first movies we're actually making. And having Wes Craven do it, it's going to send a message out that this is where you want to be. Mm-hmm. And then when you have writers like Kevin, and we, you know, in quotes, we found this guy.
Yeah.
The writers want to be there too. And if you can get those writers with those directors, you know, you get Dimension for those first 7 or 8 years where everything we made, you know, it's Kevin Williamson, it's Robert Rodriguez, it's Guillermo del Toro, but you know, on and on.
Well,
and
it
on.
Is, and it's, you know, and it's not you just saying that, that's, you know, that's being conscious that something is being created, which is then running alongside a whole new world that's being created, which is then, I Know What You Did Last Summer, Urban Legend, and the other studios kind of going, come on then.
It's funny that you say that because what started to happen is always, I started getting scripts sent to me where people would say, we have the next Scream. And I would say, I have the next Scream. It's Scream 2. I am now specifically not looking for this.
Yeah.
We have one. And not just like you go, well, we have one, so all you need is one, but we have one, and I know that there's, I know you did last summer, and other of these are coming down the pipeline. So I don't want to have, you know, just another one on the pile, because as what happened with the genre, the teen horror genre, is it got flooded to the point where it almost killed itself again. So it was like, we have Scream. That's our entry into this. That's our slasher franchise. I don't need five. I don't need three of them. You know, we had Hellraiser, which was a great dark supernatural thing. We already owned that. We had Halloween, which was, you know, at the that point, probably running out of gas. So our next one, we had already done Halloween 6, was Halloween H2O. Let's wrap up the whole thing. Make a direct sequel. Go to Jamie Lee Curtis and try to convince her that she should be in this one. And I don't think without Scream, she would have taken us that seriously as being really able to pull this off.
Was there an argument about him being credited as the creator of Scream on the publicity for I Know What You Did Last Summer?
Oh, that's 100% happened. People perceive a movie as created by the director. So when I Know What You Did Last Summer came out, it said all over it, from the creator of Scream.
Yeah.
Now, Kevin was not a name yet. I don't know how many people know who wrote their favorite movie. Most people don't. So when you see on the poster, when you just had a huge hit of a Wes Craven movie, because the posters were Wes Craven's Scream, and then you see a poster that says, from the creator of Scream, you think that's Wes Craven. If you think about it, you may realize later, Wes was the director. He didn't create it. Somebody, Kevin Williamson, wrote it. But there, I don't know if it got to the point of lawsuits. It may have, but that would have been like business affairs taking care of that. I wouldn't have been part of that.
Yeah, sure.
But there may have actually been lawsuits or threats of lawsuits or cease and desists saying you can't say from the creator of Scream, because while what you're saying is technically true, Kevin wrote the script, people think you mean Wes Craven. It's funny. It always made me think, talking to you, you bring back so many memories for me, which makes me sound like that old man in a rocking chair. On top of that, I Know You Did Last Summer is based on a book that Kevin didn't write.
Yeah, also true. Yeah.
Kevin got jobs off of Killing Mrs. Tingle as a writing sample. So he was hired. I mean, he could tell you differently, but this is my memory of it. He was hired to do I Know You Did Last Summer.
Okay.
And his initial reaction to From the Creator of Scream was, I am the creator of Scream, which is a legitimate reaction. Mm-hmm. But then I think he was horrified. It was not good for his relationship with Wes.
Yeah.
I shouldn't pause there, because it sounds like I'm saying something else.
No.
It's not good for his relationship with Wes if he stands up and goes, but I did create Scream.
Yeah.
It is from the creator of Scream, because ultimately the movie is created by the two of them. It's his script. This guy's shooting, editing, directing, all of that. I mean, Patrick's editing too, let's be honest. Patrick's a genius editor. It's Wes's team, you know, it's Wes's vision of the movie. Kevin's vision of the script creates this movie. So I think that kind of horrified him. Plus, once you get into created by, if Kevin created Scream by writing it, then didn't Lois, I'm blanking on her last name.
Duncan, yeah.
Create I Know You Did Last Summer, in which case Kevin didn't create it. It was such a tenuous, weird, like, and the truth is, if we got them to take down every poster, every advertisement, you know, change every TV commercial, what difference does it make? Everyone already heard it from the creator of Scream. You know, I won't get into any specific people, but there are, let's say, an American politician who's not in power right now, who would say things that were demonstrably false. But once they were out there, they were out there. So once you got the correction out there, most people have already heard the other thing, and it's too late. People believe what they hear first, And then disproving it takes a lot of work. I mean, there's a psychology behind that. Groucho Marx used to like to quote the line that a lie is halfway around the world before the truth can get its pants on.
Yeah. Would people have just gone to see Jennifer Love Hewitt and Sarah Michelle Gellar because of what it was, or because it began
as the creator of Scream?
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, if you want my honest opinion, I'll give you my honest opinion about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would have gone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good trailer. It was a good trailer. And they did the same thing we did, which was we cast off television.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons we did that was you need faces that are recognizable enough that the audience goes, this movie is a real movie. It's not some knockoff thing. But people who aren't so big that you think you're smarter than the movie and you know who's going to live and who's going to die.
Yeah.
We had already pulled the rug out under that with Scream, with Drew Barrymore. But as most people know, Drew was supposed to be Sydney originally. She was going to be the movie star who survives the whole thing. She was the one who was smart enough to say, I shouldn't be Sydney. I should be Casey Becker. And, you know, all honesty, Dimension, Miramax was not initially happy with that. They really wanted Drew. You're going to be Sydney. You're going to be Sydney. But by drips and drabs, as everybody thought about it, and by the way, the Drew Barrymore thing was over my head. Like, Drew was someone like, I met her on the set. It wasn't like, I had conversations with Drew Barrymore. She had done movies on the Miramax side with Harvey. Mm-hmm. So she was already a movie star from that, from the company's point of view. So people like me, we know, we weren't supposed to talk to them. But Bob and Harvey wanted Drew. And I think drips and drabs, the logic of what she was suggesting sunk into everyone.
Yeah.
Like when I first heard she didn't want to be Sydney, I was just as pissed off. Like I thought, oh, I'm going to get to do this movie. It's a Drew Barrymore movie with Wes Craven. It's going to be amazing. And then you start to think about what she said and you go, if she dies at the beginning, anyone could die.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, that's brilliant. That is brilliant. Yes, she's right. And that's also one of those little key pieces of having, I mean, most actors, you want to be the star of the movie. Drew was like, I should just be in this one part.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Drew, hats off to you. That is brilliant.
A big thank you to Richard Posser for his time over the last few weeks. We will be having more chat with him in the new year because I want to know more about the stock at Dimension, what it was all like when they were making The Faculty and Halloween H2O, etc. Plus the production story on Scream and Scream 2, of course. Thank you if you've been listening this year. Have a great Christmas and keep your ears and eyes peeled for more episodes of the Woodsboro Podcast very soon. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Woodsboro Podcast. Please rate and subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. And if you'd like to join the conversation, then you can find more on social media at the Woodsboro Pod. And you can find me on social media too at This Is Alex James.